Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Tuesday, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Help for HD Radio. This is Melissa Biliardi, your host, and tonight our call-in numbers are 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. When you call in, press 1. We'll cue you into the show. I think the 877 number is a little shaky right now, so try the 310 number. Please tell all your colleagues, friends, and family about Help for HD Radio. Click follow on our show page to get email reminders of upcoming episodes. Thank you, 85,000 listeners, for your support and interest in Help for HD programming tonight. This is very exciting tonight. We have 4 amazing and incredible guests here to talk about Regenerative Medicine Foundation's upcoming conference and gallery opening event, which will be held at the Claremont Hotel in Berkeley on May 5 to 7. We have Joan Shank. She is an MPA Academic Research Program Office at Wake Forest Institute for Regenerative Medicine, and she's Director of Education for the Regenerative Medicine Foundation. Then we have Bill Hinman. He is a CFRE and MBA and Executive Director of the National Regenerative Medicine Foundation. Its mission is to encourage and promote unbiased efforts which accelerate the discovery and development of new regenerative medicine therapies for patients. Then we have Kelly Milalukas from Tiverton, Rhode Island. She is an amazing and talented award-winning multimedia modern fine artist. She has been commissioned by RMF, that's Regenerative Medicine Foundation, since 2010. To present her exhibit, her art exhibit, Keys to the Cure. And you can visit her beautiful textural and pastel works at her website, www.kellymilalukas.com. Then we have our very own wonderful Katie VP at Help for HD International and patient advocate extraordinaire. And she's with us tonight, too, very shortly. But so she will have one of our she will be one of the several honored panel speakers at the conference gallery opening event on May 5th. So welcome, everybody, to the show. And, Katie, I know you'd like to say hello to Joan and Bill and Kelly and welcome them as well. So take it away.
Hello, everyone. And we're so excited to have you on our radio show and talk about the upcoming event. I'm going to talk just really briefly about how regenerative medicine is so important in my life, and I think why regenerative medicine is so important to all of us in the Huntington's disease community. That would be great. Mike was diagnosed with Huntington's 8 years ago, and I remember the feeling of complete hopelessness when I learned that there was nothing they can do for Mike. No treatments, no therapies, no cure, absolutely nothing. And then I remember the first time I got to hear the brilliant Dr. Jan Nolte addressed our Huntington's community about her science using MSC cells as a potential therapy for Huntington's disease. I think at that meeting is when I realized how important regenerative medicine was for a disease like Huntington's disease. At that time, I decided I was going to help in any way I possibly could to advance regenerative medicine for Huntington's disease. I was one of the 3 speakers that spoke in front of the ICOC board meeting of CIRM on July of 2012. And that's where Dr. Wheelock received her $19 million grant to go into phase 1 human clinical trial using MSCs as a potential therapy for Huntington's. And then my husband now is actually in that clinical trial, which has been an amazing experience so far for him and I and our family. I even went as far as with my last child, I donated the cord blood, placenta, and cord itself for Huntington's disease research. I had heard that the cord blood was so rich in cells, so I figured that the researchers could use this way more than I ever could. And honestly, you know, in the hospital, it just gets thrown away.
Of course.
So I actually wish I knew now what I knew then, or else I would have actually donated all 3 of my children's cord blood to research. But at least I got one of them in. And then I had the honor last year attending World Stem Cell Summit. And I was overwhelmed by the wonderful things that were going on in the world of regenerative medicine. For me, regenerative medicine equals hope, hope for so many people living with horrific diseases. I love being a very small part of the movement of regenerative medicine, and I personally believe that one day regenerative medicine will be our new medicine. As Melissa and I say, the new generation of medicine, the future of medicine. I think it's wonderful, and I thank CIRM and Dr. Nolte and Dr. Wheelock for bringing regenerative medicine to Huntington's disease. And then I want to finish just real quick by saying that patient advocates play a huge role in helping these new potential therapies get to market. We stand behind our researchers. We have to show up for funding to get this research, this amazing science, through the valley of death. We have to speak up through the whole entire process. Then when it comes to clinical trials, we have to get these clinical trials filled. Living in the U.S., we have to satisfy the FDA with safety, tolerability, and, of course, efficacy. I'm proud to be an HD community advocate for sure, because I believe that we fill these roles. We are fighters. As we all know, this is a family disease, generation after generation. So I fight today for the hope that our future generations will no longer have to live with Huntington's the way that we all do. And I truly, truly believe regenerative medicine is our hope to be the last generation. So these guests, of course, are incredibly exciting to have on our show. And I can't wait for May 5th to be a part of this event with all of you.
Okay, so we do have a studio. That was awesome, Katie. Thank you so much.
Okay, Katie,
so...
and we...
Go
this
ahead.
Is Joan Shank. We look forward to your joining us, Katie. We're so excited to have you on the 5th. Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And, Katie,
so
this is Bill Hinman. I was just going to jump in and say this is Bill Hinman. And,
okay.
And Katie, thanks so much for what I would call your testimony. You've expressed so well the very personal nature of diseases and injuries that regenerative medicine is seeking to find not just help for, but cures for, permanent fixes generated from within our own bodies to put back in place the damaged or diseased pieces of us. And there's a very personal story that you share that I know is shared by listeners to this program and folks across our nation and around the world. Our Regenerative Medicine Foundation was founded about 6 years ago because we want to help accelerate the very thing you spoke of, which is getting this research out of the labs into the clinics and helping patients directly. So that was a boldly and well-told story. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Bill. And let's go ahead and start our show today with an outline that was provided to me by Joan. We have some really interesting things to cover tonight, and we'd like to get this going. Bill, and I wanted to welcome Bill and Joan and Kelly
mm-hmm.
as well to the show. Can you give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of the Regenerative Medicine Foundation? When did it start? How did it come about? And how long have you been with RMF?
Absolutely. I came on board much more recently in 2012, and it's been just a joyful experience working with a fine team of folks. We're a small foundation. We're headquartered in North Carolina, but we have a really international scope. In our founding, the founders, the board members, envisioned an organization that could help cross all of the disciplines, all of the field that is working in regenerative medicine. So there are huge pharmaceutical companies, and there are individuals working in laboratories. There are physicians and lab technicians. There are venture capitalists, and there are government regulators. The list is broad and both deep and wide. And so as a small foundation, our resources are still a little constrained, we could say, but what we're so thrilled is that once a year for 4 years now, beginning next week, our fourth conference, the foundation is able to bring together folks from around the world who can share at a leadership level what the latest research is, best practices, cutting-edge technologies. And so we as a foundation are not directly involved in the research, but our goal is to help encourage and accelerate that research that's going on.
That's fantastic. And, of course, Joan is with us tonight, too, and she can talk more about the conference that's happening, too. And, you know, we need to talk about education because there's some kind of misinformation out there about regenerative medicine, and you know, education is so important to all of us. But Joan is obviously a very good person for this job. Can you tell us, Joan, what the focus of the meeting is, and how are you going to help educate about regenerative medicine?
Well, there's a few different components of the meeting. As Mr. Hinman, our executive director, described, we're also, so this is our fourth meeting. We strive to engage all the stakeholders and the major leaders, and we're really excited. CIRM, the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine, has been a great partner in this effort, and we look forward as we kick off the Alpha STEM Clinic component at the meeting for Alan Johnson to kick off that session. But the goal is, I mean, we hit all the major highlights in the meeting that Mr. Hinman described, spanning, you know, cell therapies, something that is near and dear to Katie's heart, who was speaking earlier about her husband Mike and Huntington's disease, and as well as the many other components that are involved, spanning regulatory issues and how that impacts moving forward, how we see the field moving forward in healthcare. Many other enabling technologies are covered, and but the area that I'm really focused on, or when you're asking about education, is that in addition to the major players in the field having an opportunity to convene and strategize as far as how they can continue to ultimately deliver upon the promise of the field, and which we know that there are already approaches that are in patients, and we have Mike, patient number one, and I have to say again, Katie, I've never met a patient number one in the clinical trial yet, so that's just exceptional. But that we're also incredibly committed to reaching out to the community and engaging the community in one way in which we do that. We do that many ways. The foundation supports young investigators in the field. So we do have a young minds component. We're very mindful, no pun intended, that we need to support our next generation scientists and clinicians, and nothing incredibly sexy or different, and that we just strive to support their training efforts to connect them with other individuals in the field, as well as drilling down a little bit earlier with other public education outreach efforts. And one step, as Mr. Hinman mentioned, we're still a growing, no pun intended, organization. but we strongly feel that one way to connect, there's a lot of different ways you can connect with folks to get the message out. And we do think this year at the annual conference with the Keys to the Cure, and let me also mention that we had a photographic, microscopic photographic art contest, which attracted submissions from 80 different regen med scientists across the world, for them to also submit these images and use this type of medium to communicate, what the work is that they're engaged in to the general public, and then also use that as a vehicle to engage in a dialogue with one another.
And not only that, Joan, well put, but the not only is it a glimpse into what's happening under the microscopic lens, but it's beautiful art. So we're going to talk in a moment about Kelly's art that she creates, but in the case of these scientists, our first jury, Joe, we've got scientists who've submitted images that folks who will visit the show will enjoy. A look inside the body at a microscopic level and just how beautiful cellular structure can be as they are searching for clues to unlock our regenerative medicine capacity. We're finding sometimes it creates some beautiful pictures.
This is Melissa. I've actually seen a few of those pictures, and it's so interesting how intricately knit some of these cellular structures are. It looks like they've been actually designed to be put together, which obviously they have. But It's so amazing to see the inside like that. It's just incredible. I would like to introduce Kelly. She can jump in here with us. And Kelly is just an amazing artist. I've seen her work. I'll put up her website on the show page afterwards so that you can see her work. And Kelly, welcome to the show. It's so nice to have you on the show, too, with us.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be a part of this incredible journey, this learning and educating and communicating about the science in every aspect. It's just my honor for sure. Just going back and
so, how did you first become acquainted with this whole regenerative medicine?
Well, that's a fun story. In 2010, and I believe Bill, you mentioned the foundation started about 6 years ago. So, the fifth mm-hmm. year in 5 years ago into the beginning of the foundation, one of the things that the board members and the folks that volunteer and work on behalf of the foundation wanted to do was create another tool in the toolkit, if you will, of educating and communicating about the science. So if you scan back 5 years and you look at the knowledge that existed then related to today, it was probably a lot more primitive and a lot less people knew about the science and the possibilities. So one of their initiatives was to create a visual dialogue and engage an artist, and I hope, and we do have artists now engaged, look at our scientists, but many more artists to come, to talk about the science visually and interpret how the body has the ability to unlock itself, to heal itself. Another Kelly came to me in 2010 with this little book, and she started to tell me the story about regenerative medicine and about all of the possibilities around restoring damaged tissue and organs and looking at every disease state possible. And, it, of course, since 2010, looking at so many more disease states and treatments and therapies than we ever imagined back then. And I became very passionate about just learning about the science. And then she said, we would like to find an artist to communicate our science. And I said, well, that's great. I'll help you find someone. And she said, no, actually, we would like you to do this. Really, it sort of took me
quite by surprise. An aha moment.
It was an aha moment. You know, I just thought, oh, she's, you know, telling me about this extraordinary science and the project. And so it wasn't right off that I actually accepted this journey and this collaboration. I thought it was a pretty tall order, and as I innocently say, I'm not a scientist, I'm an artist, and so for me to be able to accept this collaboration and this assignment that seemed to me to be pretty darn important, I went away and thought about it. And interestingly enough, I ended up surprisingly in the hospital with something that I'm cured from, and I'm obviously out of the hospital, but it gave me a window, again, a reminder of 4 long days in the hospital around people that may not come out of the hospital. And it was there in that time period that I decided that I would take on this quest and I would work with the foundation to try and interpret their science. So it was a pretty powerful moment just to kind of be almost like I got placed there on purpose, if you will. The foundation gave me 3 words, keys, locks, and mysteries, and no other set of rules. And they said, with these words, interpret our science the best way you see fit about how the body has the ability to unlock itself, to heal itself. And so I began to acquire old, beautiful keys. And if you think about it quite literally, which is where this all began in 2010, these old keys that date from, you know, a century ago or more, all handmade, they have their own story. And they have a lock that they all unlocked, and there's certainly a lot of mystery there. So I began in that way, in that very literal use of these iconic structures to start to tell the story. And I had about a year to work on it. And so it became quite a personal journey to kind of travel around with these locks and these keys that you'll be able to see at the foundation opening on Monday evening and of course on the website, and let them kind of guide me through this story of written word and about communicating this beautiful, hope-filled science and about how these locks and these keys give way to mystery.
That's so interesting. And I still say that science and art kind of go hand in hand, because this is my own opinion, but I'm very artistically inclined, but I think a scientist has to be creative and they have to be artistic in designing their research, as does an artist using the medium that they're using. They have to be kind of scientifically minded in order to compilate what they're doing. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that's how I feel about it.
It does. I like the way you put it.
Yeah, I think, Bill, you know, hop in here for a second.
Well, I just, one of the things that's been fascinating to me, I too am not a scientist. I'm a nonprofit consultant and manager, and I love leading groups of people who share a vision. So my role has not been down in the trenches in the labs where these amazing minds are doing just what Kelly described, unlocking the secrets of the body's ability to heal itself. But I've decided from a layman standpoint, and back to your point about education, Melissa, as we help people become educated about regenerative medicine, I put it in very simple terms. You know, when we are forming, as our cellular structures are dividing early on in the life of the fetus, the different cells are being commanded to form the different parts of our bodily structure. And some cells are told to go off and be a left ear, and others are told to go be a right foot. And everybody knows what it's supposed to be. And all that is in the blueprint that comes with the package. So later in life, if we have a disease or an injury that interferes with one of those parts, the blueprint, all the commands are still there. What these scientists are doing is taking those keys, literally, figuratively, and unlocking those mysterious processes which once worked beautifully in the womb and we are finding can be made to work again. And so we have evidence today of parts regrown and functioning fully from a digit, a finger, to a skin, to a number of organs. Where Joan Shank is working at Wake Forest, the research center there has over 30 different organs and tissues that are being researched and worked on to regenerate those within the patient. The magic here of all this for us is that this comes from cellular material from the patient, her or himself. There is no rejection by the body because one is donating to oneself. And as that mystery is unlocked, we find the patient has the ability to regrow the part healthy and good as new. We're not ready for prime time in RegMed fully. We wish we had had these things set for someone to walk in their doctor's office tomorrow morning and find the cure. We get calls and emails every day at the foundation office that folks are looking for that kind of cure, and we're hoping to accelerate getting it to them. But I think we will definitely see in our children and grandchildren that this is a regular routine part of medical care for us in our future.
Anecdotally, just in follow-up to Katie's description about the connection between science and art, that's the title of the Commitment to Awareness and Science Meets Art public session on May 5th, The Keys to the Cure. But frequently, when we go over these many applications that we receive from students from all over the world at Wake Forest, Bill mentioned that my other hat is at Wake Forest Institute for Regenerative Medicine. But as we pour through these applications from undergraduate students, from graduate students, from postdocs, and we convene ourselves in a room to look over so much talent that wants to become involved in the field, which is incredibly important, so we can continue the work that's begun today into well into the future. But you know, we have these other funny sidebar discussions, and so many of the applicants, you know, we're always astounded by their special activities. We do actually see quite a lot of artistic ability, and we have some committed researchers that believe very strongly that pianists make some of the best technicians in the lab as well. So there's clearly a connection.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think just if you, that is amazing to hop in and, you know, kind of talk a little bit about the exhibition that's going to be, and you nodded to it earlier, Bill and Joan, that's part of the Keys to the Cure, the scientific aspect of it, where we went out and did a call to regenerative medicine artists to show us their microscopic imagery as art. And if you take a look at not only the beautiful images that they provided to us, but the titles of the work,
mm-hmm.
you can tell that they really got engaged with this notion that what they're doing is very scientific, and it's studying these disease states, and they're looking for clues, and they're unlocking those mysteries. But they were talking about cells performing secret handshakes. I mean, that's just so powerful to me as an artist to look at what that science was trying to say. Like, I'm finding the answer to this mystery in this image.
And those titles are almost melodic in many cases. It's a lot of fun, and that's you're right. The artist coming out and the scientist, that's very well put.
When
I have to
we
tell
started
you guys in go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
What I was going to say is when I started the show, the radio show in 2010, the whole reason behind starting the show was to share information and research that I had done for my own son who has Huntington's. And when he was diagnosed in 2008, he said, "Mom, I want you to find regenerative medicine." That was his first number one assignment for me. So that's what I did, is I went out and found all these amazing, incredible researchers. I found Jen Nolte, of course, was number one on the list. And then I came back and told him about the research that I'd found. And he said, "Okay, now you need to share it with the world." I'm like, okay, next assignment. So, you know, this whole journey that we're on was, you know, based on finding regenerative medicine for my son. So thank you, Jimbo.
Wow, that's really powerful.
I hear another young mind in the field there.
Oh, boy, I guess so. When we started in 2010 and had that first year to develop this visual vocabulary through this imagery and text, the first unveiling of that original body of work called The Keys to the Cure happened in 2011 at the Regenerative Medicine Forum in Washington, D.C. And it was then that we had the goal to have this artwork grow in however way it grows. And this kind of tied to regenerative medicine, is to continue working in that field and to find, now we have scientists, but to take this exhibition out into other communities to be able to use this as an education tool and communicate about the science. We've had it in Providence, Rhode Island, at the prestigious Providence Art Club. It's down at the Palm Beach Photographic Center Museum for a 2.5-month exhibition with the scientific images that were juried in. Of those 80, we put in 26 images, I believe, and 10 of those top winners will be in Berkeley at the show on Monday. And so now we've touched four cities and four communities, and I think it's just the beginning of where we tie this artistic sensibility and this communication tool to the science and to our community at large. And I'm really excited about the patients and working with Katie and talking with her and Don Reed, who are there on the patient side, and how this grows this communication.
Fabulous.
Yeah, and
hey,
I want Joan.
No, go ahead, Katie.
Oh no, I was just going to say, I think it's so wonderful to have this exhibit, and education is so important. I talk all the time with people about regenerative medicine, and really, we need to break down the barriers, the stigma, the smoking mirrors about what regenerative medicine is with people, and really educate ourselves and educate the community about what regenerative medicine really is, because it's so hopeful. I mean, it truly is the hope and the future of medicine. And I think we need to break down those barriers. So I think this is definitely, this exhibit is an amazing way to help communicate and break that down.
Yeah, you couldn't be more spot on. And so I guess I was thinking, Katie, as you were describing your son, I think your words were, you know, we need to know about this regenerative medicine stuff. You know, some schools, and so when we talk about next generation standards, you know, stem cell science is now, NIH has long been, and there's terrific information on the NIH website. There is also a tremendous amount of information on the CIRM's website. CIRM does a terrific job, as you know, in educating the public. But I guess I'm just curious, so what was going on in your son's classroom, and how did you approach that?
That was Melissa. My son was diagnosed in 2008, and so you know we really didn't have any information available to us. The only information that we had was really on the internet, and so I just started researching, and found, of course, Jan Nolte's work right away. And being that she's in California, you know, we had to go meet her and see Dr. Vicki Wheelock, who's, I think, the best HD clinician in the world. We love her to death.
Yes.
And as well as Terry Temkin, a nurse practitioner. The whole team there is just fabulous. We, Katie and I both think that they're the best in the world. We're biased.
Yes.
Hey, that's okay. But, yes, so that was in 2008. In 2000, you know, couple years between 2008 and 2010, I was really kind of just getting my bearings and finding the research, finding the expert care and that kind of thing. We're on the Central Coast of California. We're in an area of about 1.5 million people here on the Central Coast between San Luis Obispo County, Santa Barbara County, and Ventura County. And, you know, I found just in my local area found more than 35 families with Huntington's in doing a symposium in 2010, an outreach project, a support group. I have support groups now. And all of California, we have support groups. So, I mean, as you're educating yourself and sharing that information with other people, you're finding more and more of your community. And so that's the whole point of outreach is educating, learning first, then educating, and then finding your people. So that's our whole goal with the mission of Help for HD International is educating the world about Huntington's disease. But in doing that, we're finding there are so many other disease categories that kind of go alongside. For example, movement disorders, Parkinson's disease. Many of our expert, you know, physicians, psychiatrists, people who are dealing with movement disorders are also working with Parkinson's. And so hand in hand, we're finding more community members that are kind of, everybody knows somebody that's had Parkinson's. Everybody knows somebody that's had Alzheimer's. Everybody knows somebody that's had cancer. The problem with our disease is that there are no survivors. So finding those keys, opening the lock to, you know, finding the cure, treatments, therapies, that's our goal. We're on the same track with you. And we're here to help you in any way we possibly can. So I wanted to kind of talk to you more about other educational tools for the toolkit. So we have radio, we have film, we have art, which is fantastic, and all of those are visual and audio stimulation for learning tools. So are there other tools in that toolkit that we could talk about?
So,
hello?
So I think that the journey, which is, you know, the work that that you folks have been involved in finding one another and embarking on an educational journey together,
underlies the importance of the Regenerative Medicine Foundation and many other professional societies, ISSCR. That's why it's so critically important that we partner together as the scientists convene and the regulators to work together to advance the field and deliver upon the promise. But as Mr. Hinman, as Bill referred to, we're still a relatively young organization, and the commissioning of Kelly has been one important step. Public, community outreach. So if I go back to wearing another hat of another organization, we have involved in, and I know CIRM does that, Stories of Hope, and so we had stem cell talks within the community with, middle school and high school students and summer camp challenges for middle school students and high school students, much like the robotics challenges. I mean, there's a variety of ways. We could talk lots about that. But for the Regenerative Medicine Foundation, I think it's really key for us at this point. I think, one of our primary missions is to be working to engage with more stakeholders, and particularly patient advocacy groups and all learning and working together hand in hand to find cures for, a variety of diseases. So unfortunately, I can't.
I love what you're saying, and I'm going to jump in and add another note with that too, which is something we've been really eager to see more and more. We want to be patient advocates, but we know that the best, and all of you all who've been expressing your work for Huntington's, it's such a debilitating progressive disease, and you've discovered in your own involvement that the best advocate for a patient is the patient themselves. And so, certainly one of the things we are excited about is helping people get fired up about helping us promote the idea of regenerative medicines. I think as folks begin to do just what you've done, to explore the field, to learn about it themselves, to talk with their own physicians and local medical centers. We've got listeners to the show today that hopefully will be inspired by some of this message and say, I can make a difference. I can contact people and tell them, I want this here. I want to see this helping patients in my own community. This is not mainstream medicine yet, so it's not in all the medical centers. It's not available to any given patient or any given day. We're all involved in finding ways that we can bring regenerative medicine to the forefront. So I guess I'm putting
a
plea in for a grassroots effort.
I'll tuck into the grassroots effort just with some great storytelling of people coming into my studio and seeing this gigantic installation of keys and locks. And they, if they don't know my work, or if they're, we participate on open studio tours, and in any regard, I get hundreds of people through my studio each summer, and they come in and they look at me and they say, "What's your fascination with these locks and keys?" And I have a lot of, it's a wonderful, right? It's just so there.
Yeah.
And so I spend.
I'm into security.
I'm into security. And I have a lot of material out on the foundation and about regenerative medicine, and some of them will do their own investigation, and then and I'll watch this happen, and they'll come up and they'll say, "Okay, so what is this, these locks and these keys? Can you tell me what's going on here?" And so I get to tell the story from the very beginning, from person A, like myself, who didn't know about the science when I was sat down. And I get to tell them about the beautiful science and the possibilities for our future and for our children and our grandchildren and even for us, because some of these diseases are already being treated, like Luke, who's on the website for the Regenerative Medicine Foundation, and they stand there in awe. And there's a real education piece around what is stem cell science, what is regenerative medicine, how it's coming into almost every lens of medicine that someone can imagine. And, you know, we're talking to you guys about HD, and it's so incredible to walk through a lab and see all of these different departments of all these research scientists looking everywhere for where regenerative medicine might apply now and in the future.
And that's a really good point, Kelly. And so something else that the foundation is involved in, so by virtue of, you know, your focuses, your efforts in patient advocacy and really appreciating and educating yourself more about what's going on in the field, you know, ultimately the folks who will deliver these therapies are clinicians. And although folks at many of the meetings, the young scientists that you will see there are fortunately versed in a lot of the science, there are a great number of, you know, medical schools. So regenerative medicine is not part of a clinician's training. And so one of the things that we've been involved in lately is developing student chapters at medical schools where they don't have access to this kind of content in their training. So we have a lot of, you know, we're very fortunate. We have a lot of premier, and I don't really kind of want to make a hierarchy of educational institutes because they're not. They all have different missions. But this is a huge paradigm shift in healthcare. However, a lot of folks training don't have access to the information. They don't have access to the experiences. They don't have access to the rotations. We're not quite there yet in our mission, but, you know, we would really like to be able to extend these opportunities to an array of students across the levels of learning, but, you know, particularly interested in those clinicians in training who really need to interface with this science, because ultimately, you know, if the scientists don't interface with the physicians who are going to put that thing into the patient or deliver, then, you know, on a large scale, it's going to be very limited.
Hey, Joan, you're kind of breaking up. I don't know if it's the phone or what, but you're breaking up just a little bit. So I don't know if you can get to a spot where it's a little bit more stable, where you're on your cell, right?
I am on my cell. Yeah.
Oh no! See, that sounds good. I'm so sorry.
Don't move. Just stand like that.
Yeah,
what
I don't
you're saying
want
is
yeah,
so
don't
important.
Move around.
We don't want to miss it.
Speaking of technology, and
yeah.
You know, I think the thing is, we're all pioneers in what we're doing, and we're kind of all laying the foundation of what's to come in our field. So I'm really impressed with Regenerative Medicine Foundation and your mission and your event. So let's talk about your events. This is exciting in May. Your conference and your gala opening.
Next week.
Gala opening. I know.
And we should mention, if somebody is listening and still wants to sign up, they can go to regmedcon.org. That's regmedcon.org. And jump in fast, but this is going to be a wonderful. I'm not trying to plug it as much as thank you for letting folks be reminded in this show that indeed we're going to have some of the great minds coming together and sharing their current research and work and looking for ways to collaborate with one another. And literally at the last meeting, we had folks from Israel and Germany and all around the world. So this brings together a wonderful group of folks who share that common interest to do just what we've been talking about today, and that is get this stuff out of the lab and into the patients.
Fantastic.
So the conference is very exciting.
The gallery opening is in the evening of May 5th, is that correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay.
Monday night
John,
at 6:30. Yep.
Oh. Okay.
Well, actually, the event in the evening, and so that's a, you know, of course, it's open to the public, and so we're hoping that listeners will come and have an opportunity to meet with some of the folks that will be, you know, some of the scientists that will be attending, Dr. Anthony Atala, many folks that you're aware of, Paula DeCopy, Bernie Siegel. I mean, the schedule is on the website.
Wow.
Bill Tawil, just, you know, a large number of folks, you know, from your area, Dr. Healy. The event in the evening is really our effort to draw the public in and have a dialogue, and to have a dialogue with the scientific community, using once again that Kelly has been so very articulate about, and you know, we're just so pleased that she accepted the commission, because I don't think any one of us can imagine anyone else doing what she's been doing, but an opportunity to engage with the panelist, Kevin McCormick. I'm suspecting in your area, he's just he's the director of communications and patient advocate outreach for CIRM. So he'll be moderating the session that Kelly is participating in, and Dr. Anthony Atala will be participating as well. We have policy analyst and writer, Sonia Aronson, who's written quite a lot about RegenMed and the impact on the public, and from kind of a different perspective. And then we're really very fortunate to have Katie Jackson.
Yay!
And, Don Reed as well. So we're very excited to bring such a diverse group together and talk about, everyone has a different sort of point of view, but we're all trying to get to the same place. And I think Katie and Melissa, when you both asked about education, let's not forget that, the dialogue that the scientific community, and you know this very well from the work that you do, and the dialogue. We have the FDA there, Celia Witten, all the folks that are involved in making decisions. We learn as much from the public as you learn from us. We hope you'll join us, and as well our efforts. The foundation's mission is to bring these people together and do anything we can do to accelerate the field. But it is, of course, I don't really like, but it's a fundraiser, and these are fantastic pieces of work. We've been very fortunate to have a lot of folks help us bring this together. Dr. Bob Klein has been a big supporter of helping us put this together, as well as many other folks. Illis Art, Kelly can talk about that a little bit, which happened to be one of the scientists who submitted an image of who's one of our awardees.
Kelly, are you with us?
And
I sure am.
Hi, Kelly. Just want to make sure.
Oh yes. I can hop in on the Illis Art. It's kind of a great story.
Okay.
Dr. Zimber is one of the 10 award winners, and in fact, he won an honorable mention that's on exhibit down at the Palm Beach Photographic Center Museum. It's not just artists that are learning and taking these clues from scientists and turning them into art. There's actually Illis Art, which is, I believe, in San Diego, has Dr. Michael Zimber, a PhD, who's their chief scientific photographer. If I'll use that, I think I just made that up, but that's okay. And he's doing this extraordinary work.
Hey, you
he's got a new title
radio
as of now.
Chief scientific photographer.
We'll make sure he has some
chief scientific photographer. he's a PhD, obviously, but he's also got these incredible credentials as this amazing photographer. And they are taking images that he's creating, and they're turning them into these beautiful pieces of art. And his two pieces were part of that collection. And so by connection, by this connective tissue and these paths that are cinching us all together and weaving us together, the lab, if you will, the artistic lab, reached out to me and said, you know, we would love to get involved with the Regenerative Medicine Foundation and the upcoming forum, and let's talk about having us create these works because they're photographic, and so the idea is that it is a fundraiser, and there will be over 50 pieces of fine art photography that are printed on these beautiful aluminum panels that are very clean and pure, just like a lab. So it's this beautiful marriage of science and art. And they were instrumental in funding and helping these images come to life. Mine, from The Keys to the Cure, I was also given a wonderful photo access privilege to come down to the Regenerative Medicine Institute at Wake Forest last fall and translate their laboratory artistically. So there are 14 images of my interpretation of what a lab looks like.
Nice.
And then these beautiful scientific images. So it'll be quite a well-rounded exhibition if you think of starting in 2010 with these literal locks and keys, looking inside the interior of a regenerative medicine lab artistically, and then seeing the actual images that these scientists are working with and having them become art. It's a really wonderful 360 view of the science.
Fantastic.
And so if someone can't be excited about what's going on, I just don't think we have much else we can do. I'm just as proud as can be and excited.
Yeah.
I'm delighted folks there will have a chance to see Kelly's work and the scientists' work. Very special opportunity.
Yes, yes. So that's May 5th, starting at what time?
Starting at 6:30.
6:30, okay. And that's to be at the Claremont Hotel?
It's at the Claremont Hotel, which is in Berkeley. I believe it's on Tunnel Road. There's a reception to follow. And so, you know, this is connected to the broader conference. So outside of the so this is an event where, you know, conference attendees will be participating in as well. And so once again, we're interested in kind of facilitating that dialogue. We're utilizing the art to kind of join folks together and facilitate discussion. And I think maybe Kelly can talk about that a little bit. I think Katie has left the room. So we're also hoping, excited about.
Katie's
still
with
there.
Us. Good.
She's still here.
Okay,
she's
still
on.
Yay, I think Kelly gave you an excellent job doing that. But I am here if you need me.
Katie,
but,
building
the Katie together. I'm sorry, what did you say, Joan?
So we were talking about that venue where the rest of the attendees will be participating in a public event, so it's an opportunity to engage with the broader conference folks and you know, kind of talk about the field and do so through an artistic lens. And then also I was really excited, Katie, with your enthusiasm about, you know, symbolically and joining to put together a key to the cure, perhaps looking at some of the work Kelly has put together. We had a discussion earlier this morning, and you were talking about your interest in that. So
Yeah. I think that with the I've seen Kelly's imagery and it's so of her art, and I think there's just one that really stands out to me. And I remember seeing it for the first time a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago actually, when the invitation was first put out. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this really describes the way I feel. So it's going to be really about regenerative medicine and Huntington's in my life. So I'm really excited about bringing that together. Kelly and I together on that. But I also think when you get a chance to go to a public event like this, I think if you have any way you can get there, if you're in the area, come. Because I think it's something that when we get a chance to speak with these scientists and talk to them not only about what they're doing in the labs, but also talk to them about us and our trials and tribulations and living with Huntington's disease or living with any disease and let them know, I think that really helps be bridged together. So bridging together, like at World Stem Cell Summit when I was able to talk to Ben Deverman of Caltech and talked to him about Huntington's disease, and he actually was working on a grant at that time for Huntington's disease. So we were able to connect, and we actually connected later and talked about grants and fundings and different things. So building these bridges together with our scientists is so important. So I think if you're able to go to this public event and come join us. Because it's amazing.
Yes.
It's amazing to be at something like this. Mm-hmm. And it's full of inspiration.
And we'll put you on the radio, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. And it's really important, you know, here I am spouting about, you know, the young scientists once again. You know, each year frequently we're privileged to also be able to support perhaps a small number of folks, scientists to get there. And frequently, this may be the first time some of the younger researchers in training have really interfaced with patients. You know, we've done this. I've been doing this for a while. A lot of the folks that are there will also be discussing some about applications for the armed forces. And I remember taking a small group of young scientists to Walter Reed, and you know, just they're very inspired by seeing, you know, what the impact is on, I mean, right, so it's all about people. It's all about Katie. It's all, you know, and so.
Yeah, I agree with all of you, what you've said. I think this is Melissa, I think by having these kind of events where you're meeting people eyeball to eyeball, elbow to elbow, you're speaking to one another, what you're doing is you're closing the circle. You're completing the circle of science and why they're doing what they're doing and how it's going to benefit the person who's suffering or the individual who's suffering or the families who are suffering from these diseases. And it's really, I think, the most incredible thing to do is to bring all these components together, bring science together, art together, the community together. It's just fantastic. I love it. And, you know, that is going to be one of our things that we're going to be doing, too, is having events so that we can have these meet and greet and special events where people can come together. I think that's where the magic does happen.
Well, thank you all for plugging the notion that folks can come off the street and come and meet some of the folks who are really slaving away behind the scenes, trying to find the ways to unlock these wonderful locks that our resident artist Kelly Malukas is talking about today. And you know, in conversation, those of you who've been on this show are sharing your stories. Each person listening has their own family story. We are dealing with myriad diseases that are running rampant in our society, and this is a group of very dedicated scientists who say, we think we're onto something here that can make a real difference in real people's lives. So great opportunity to come and visit with those folks, find out what they're doing, and, as we said earlier, to encourage them to keep doing it and doing more and more of it.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming on the show. Joan, Bill, Kelly, Katie, I think you're still with us. This has been a fantastic show, and we'll be sending it out to our network and sending it to, you know, many, many people and promoting it for you as well. And so I just want to thank you for doing what you do and for including us in what you're doing. This is fantastic. And so without further ado, if anybody has anything else they wanted to say before we close the show.
I just add our note of thanks for the collaborative work today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for having
us. You're welcome. Please go to www.regmedcon.org. That is where you can find this information. May 5 through 7, 2014. This is the RegMedCon 2014 at the Claremont Hotel in Berkeley, California. And I just wish everybody a good week. We'll talk to you next week. This concludes our show tonight. And don't forget to listen to the on-demand episodes, also free download on iTunes, Health for HD. And don't forget the free app, Health for HD, the original mobile connection to education resources and information about JHD and HD. Find us on Facebook and Health for HD. International.org. Good night. Good night, everyone. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
You make